You read that story in Luke chapter 5. Have you ever had someone to say to you, "Shh, keep it to yourself"? That's what Jesus told this man. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? Have you ever said that to somebody? Have you ever been out in public with your children and they blurted something out and you leaned over and said, "Shh, keep it to yourself"? Try to teach our children not to provoke them to wrath, but sometimes they provoke us to wrath, and we have to lean over and say, "You know, keep that to yourself." Those words, those noises that our children tend to make, those activities and behavior, you know, keep that to yourself. That's what Jesus said to this man in Luke chapter 5. Can you imagine Jesus saying to you, "Shh, keep it to yourself"? You can't imagine that. You cannot imagine Jesus looking at you and telling you not to share something, but that's what Jesus did in Luke chapter 5. And this morning, I want us to look at three things about this man in Luke chapter 5. And if you don't have your Bibles there already, I would encourage you to go to Luke chapter 5. And we'll also be noticing the parallel over in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 1. But what is there that we can learn from this encounter between this man and Jesus? First thing I want us to see this morning is that there was a man who came to Jesus who was covered with leprosy. That's the way the New American Standards has it. The New King James says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12 that this man was full of leprosy. It was not a disease that he had just contracted. It was not a disease that he had just been diagnosed with. It was a disease that had invaded and taken over his body to the point that the Bible says he was full, he was covered with leprosy. What kind of disease is that? What kind of disease was that? We don't have time this morning, but you may mark in your Bible, next to this passage or any other passage that talks about leprosy, you may mark in your Bible Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Because back in the old law, in the book of Leviticus chapter 13, God details for the Jews what leprosy was going to look like and what leprosy was going to do to the body. And when you go back and read Leviticus chapter 13, you see that the high priest served, the priests served in a capacity almost as physicians, where they were to diagnose the disease as it came upon the individual's bodies. When you go back to Leviticus chapter 13, the Bible says that the disease of leprosy was something that started off under the skin. It was the disease that started off perhaps not even perceptible to the human eye. You may not even know that you had leprosy at first. Don't you hate diseases like that? Don't you hate diseases that eat away at your body before you even know that they're eating away at your body? That's what leprosy would do. It would start out hidden underneath the skin. And as it began to make itself noticeable to the humans, it would only appear in very small dots on the skin, very small spots. But then eventually those spots would spread. And again, sometimes it was spreading underneath the skin, where maybe on the surface you didn't think it was so bad. Maybe on the surface it was just a spot here or there, and well, it's not all that bad, but underneath the surface, it may be eating away at your body. There was a man who wrote about leprosy. And as he wrote about the disease, he said that it generally begins with pain, certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Small red dots appear on the skin, and before too long, the spots get bigger and they start to turn white. And then those spots become thick and glossy and scaly. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots spread over the whole body. They become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and ears, begins to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings. As things get worse, fingernails and toenails become loose. They start to rot and eventually fall off. Then the joints of fingers and toes begin to rot and fall off piece by piece. Gums begin to shrink and they can't hold the teeth any longer. Leprosy keeps eating away at your face until literally the nose, the palate, and even the eyes rot. The throat of the leper becomes hoarse, and so now you can not only see and feel and smell the leper, but you can hear his rasping voice trying to say, "Unclean, unclean." The victim wastes away until he dies. What a horrendous disease. A disease that Leviticus chapter 13 indicates was to isolate you if you had that disease. You were to be placed in isolation away from everyone else so that that disease could not inflict, affect, or bother anyone else. And eventually, that would lead to your death. In Leviticus chapter 13, it said that even the leper's clothes were to be taken from him. And if they could not be properly treated and cleansed of this disease, they were to be taken and they were to be burned. A man who had this disease that we read about, that we can read about in Leviticus 13, a man who had this disease and not just the beginning steps of it, but a man who had this disease full and covering and in the final stages, no doubt he was near death. He came to Jesus. Look at how this man comes to Jesus in Luke chapter 5. Matthew chapter 8 uses the word that he came to Jesus. But then we see in Mark's account that the Bible says that when he got to Jesus, he knelt down before him. In Luke's account, the passage that was read, it says that he fell on his face before Jesus. Matthew says that when he fell on his face, that he worshiped Jesus. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, it says that he begged him. If you had gone before Jesus with this disease, what would you have done? You see this man's conduct, and it is one of lowliness where he falls down before Jesus. He has a true sense of his unworthiness before the Lord. He goes there with a heart that just says, you know, if you are willing, but you don't have to, only if you are willing. A man who begged Jesus to do something. You see his condition. You see his conduct. You look at this man and you see the confidence he has in verse 12. Look at his confidence that was not just a confidence that was kept in his heart. It was not just a belief that he had in his heart that Jesus was the Son of God. That wasn't just a belief he had in his heart. It was not just a confidence that said, yeah, Jesus can do just about anything. I believe that Jesus can do just about anything. That wasn't the kind of confidence this man had. It was the kind of faith, the trust, the confidence that led him. That led him to the Lord and called Jesus Lord, saying, you know, you're higher than I am. And as one higher than I am, you're able to do something that I am not. He looks to Jesus and he says, you are the only one who can take care of this. Do you remember the woman who came to Jesus, who had an issue for 12 years? The Bible says that she had wasted all of her money. spent all of her money on doctors, and the doctors could do absolutely nothing. No doubt this leper had expended all that he could. Then he comes to Jesus and says, "You're the only one to do the very thing that I need, that I want the most." This man who was covered with this disease, the Bible says, was cleansed. Can you imagine going from being full and covered with that vicious disease to being free from it? A disease that had gradually taken over his body. Can you imagine going from the gradual destruction of your body to being right back fully, complete, cleansed from that disease? Look at what Jesus does. The Bible says that Jesus, in Mark's account, had compassion on the man. You know, for some of us, if a leper came up to us, you might find us running in the other direction. You might find us yelling at him and saying, "What are you doing in the city?" The Bible says in Luke 5 and verse 12 that Jesus was in a certain city. This leper did not belong in the city. He was supposed to be outside. He was supposed to be in isolation. Jesus sees him. He has compassion on him. The Bible says that he stretched out his hand and he touched him. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. Jesus, don't you know that that man has leprosy? Jesus, can you not see that his body has been eaten away by this disease? Jesus, you don't have this disease. You don't want this disease. My Savior and your Savior stretched out his hand and touched the man. And he said, "I am willing." According to his will, he cleansed that man. And the Bible says that immediately, not take two pills and call me in the morning. Not, "Well, you know what? Why don't you go back out into your camp by yourself and maybe if I have time, I'll come talk to you later." Jesus touched him and immediately he was cleansed. How does a body that is ravaged by this disease immediately come back to a state of perfection? It only happens by the touch of the Son of God. Immediately that leprosy left him. And the Bible said, you go to the high priest, because the high priest was the only one. You go back to Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 7. The high priest was the only one who could declare him legally to be clean. This man was covered with leprosy. He came to Jesus and he was cleansed of that leprosy. Before we get to the third thing I want us to see about this man this morning, I want us to go back and I want us to put you and me into this scenario. I want to put you and me in the scenario of coming to Jesus. But when we come to Jesus, we're not covered with leprosy. We're covered with something much, much worse. It's interesting that the Bible parallels the ravaging disease of leprosy with the disease of sin. Here are the items that we listed and that we talked about, grayed out here, that we listed and talked about, that the text talked about, that this man was covered with leprosy. What was his condition? His condition was he was leprous. When we're covered with sin, what's our condition? We're lost. What did this man have? He had a disease that started out very, very covert. You know, that's how sin starts. That's how the devil works. You know, the devil doesn't come and try to parade sin before you. He works behind the scenes. Jesus said that sin is not something that is always seen on the outside, because sin is something that starts in your heart. It is something that when it appears, it may appear small at first. Have you ever put sins on a scale? On a scale of what's a small sin and what's a big sin? What's a little sin and what's a really bad sin? You know, God doesn't have that kind of a scale. The devil tries to make us think that he does. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 talks about the deceitfulness of sin. What if you stepped on a scale this afternoon and the scale said you weighed 26 pounds? Would that make you feel good? I weigh 26. Yes, sir, I do. I've been dieting my heart out and now I only weigh 26 pounds. Would you think there was something wrong with that scale? Or would you say, that's my favorite scale in the world? Deceitful. It's tricking you. Somebody's playing a game on you. That's what the devil does with sin. He plays a game on you. Makes you think that it's small so that you'll ignore it, so that it has time to permeate and to spread. The Bible says that sin is like leaven. You know what a little leaven does, don't you? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You leave sin alone long enough. You leave sin alone long enough in your heart and it is going to spread. It is going to permeate your entire body. That's what leprosy does. And as leprosy comes and numbs the body, numbs the nerve endings. Do you know why lepers, you know why they have so many injuries? They can't feel them. They cannot feel the pain that the normal body would sense. That's what sin does. Bible says that sin deadens our senses. Bible says in Hebrews 3 that it hardens the heart. Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2 that it sears the conscience. In Ephesians 4 and verse 19, it says it makes you past feeling. It's like a callus that has no feeling. We leave sin long enough, we won't feel it anymore. We won't think it's so bad. We won't think it's that big of a deal to turn our back on God, to disregard the commandments of God, to not follow the will of God. It's not that big of a deal. If we allow sin to have that kind of free roam in our life, it's going to destroy us. It will lead to our death. It will eventually isolate us from God on this earth and in eternity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 says that these will be separated. These will be taken away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You know those garments of the leper that were only fit for fire? That's what God says about those who are given to sin. That these will be thrown into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Are you covered with sin? Are you a Christian this morning? As you think about your life, as you think about the disease of leprosy and how horrible it would be to have the disease of leprosy, do you have the disease of sin running in your life? Are you full of it? Are you covered with it? This man who came to see Jesus came with a heart of lowliness. When he comes to Jesus, he kneels down before Jesus. Have you done that before? Philippians 2 says that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Have you fallen down before the Lord to say, God, I'm full of sin, and there's nothing that I can do about it. God, I need you. I need you to take away my sin. God, I need you to cleanse me of this thing that is destroying my soul. It's interesting. It's interesting that in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, what the Bible says that baptism does. See, the Bible says that we need, in order to be saved, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. to fall down before the Lord in a penitent heart saying, God, I don't want to serve me anymore. I want to serve you. To confess the faith that is in our heart and then to be baptized. And what did Ananias say to Paul in Acts 22 and verse 16? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. And when you do that, what are you doing through that act? Calling on the name of the Lord. When someone is baptized, they are calling. They are begging God to do what He said He would do. Begging God to do only what He can do. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the New American Standard says that baptism is an appeal to God, is a pleading, is a begging to God for a good conscience. If you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, and you have not appealed to God for a good conscience, you have not called upon the name of the Lord. If you haven't done that, why don't you do that today? Why don't you have the confidence that this leper had in Jesus? The kind of confidence that says, Lord, You're the only one who can do this. Nobody else can cleanse me from my sin. I need this. I want this more than anything else. Why don't you have that kind of heart this morning? If you've never done that, if you're covered with sin, why don't you be cleansed from your sin this morning? Notice what Jesus did for this leper. For this leper, Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus has compassion on you as a sinner. Jesus stretched out His hand. Jesus loved you so much, He stretched out His hands upon the cross. He stretched out His hand and touched this leper. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says that Jesus has been touched with our weaknesses. Jesus took upon Himself. He felt what it was like to bear sins because our sins were laid upon Him. He was made sin for us. You can be cleansed this day because when Jesus was hanged upon that cross, the Bible says that He shed His blood, which is able to cleanse you. Not cleanse you in some future time, to cleanse you immediately upon your obedience. The Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Immediately. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. It happens immediately. Jesus is ready to cleanse you from your sins this morning. And since He is the great high priest, you don't have to follow the law of Moses and go to an earthly priest anymore. Jesus, as our high priest, can pronounce you clean in the eyes of God. This morning, are you covered with sin? Or have you been cleansed of sin? For just a couple minutes, I want to see this final thing about this man. Covered with sin, cleansed from sin. But then in verse 14, Jesus said, shh, keep it to yourself. Jesus recognized what was going to happen. And when you look at the end of Mark's account, in Mark chapter 1, verse 45, and in Luke chapter 5, verse 15, Jesus knew that the crowds would become uncontrollable. Jesus knew that He would not be able to get back into the city to preach the gospel anymore. Jesus, you remember that He frequently talked about, my hour has not yet come. Jesus was working on a time frame by which He was trying to get the message of the cross to so many. And He knew that the crowds would get out of control if they learned about things. They would put more emphasis on the miracles than they would His teachings. And so He told the man, don't say anything. But this guy could not keep it to himself. He couldn't stop himself. Jesus said, don't tell him. In fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1 that He strictly warned him. If Jesus strictly warned you, would that get your attention? He strictly warned him, do not say anything to anyone. And the man straightway disobeyed Him. The man immediately went out, and the Bible says he spread the word. The very thing Jesus said, don't do it, he went and did it. The very thing Jesus said, keep it to yourself, he couldn't. He could not keep it to himself. So the Bible says that the word of Jesus spread throughout all of the land, and everybody was hearing what Jesus had done. This man chose, rather than to obey Jesus, he chose to disobey him. And regardless of how well-meaning he was, I mean, he's talking about Jesus. That can't be bad, right? No matter how well-intentioned he was, his disobedience became a hindrance to Jesus being able to get back into the city and preach any further. Jesus had a plan. But the man couldn't follow that plan. He just had to reach out. If Jesus had said to us, okay, you've been cleansed, now keep it to yourself. If Jesus had said that to us, what would you have done? If Jesus had told you, you've been saved, but do me a favor, don't tell anybody. How would some of you be doing with that right now? How would some Christians be doing? Well, by default, some of us would be doing pretty good, not telling anybody. But isn't it interesting that Jesus told us exactly the opposite of what he told that man? Jesus strictly warned the man not to tell anybody. Jesus commanded us to tell everybody. Look at the contrast. Don't tell anybody. Jesus says you tell everybody. Have you done that? The man could not keep it to himself. He went and he was spreading the message everywhere he could go. Have you done that? Have you taken the gospel of Christ and spread it? Shared it? Have you met anybody in the last week who needed the gospel? Did you share it? Did you give it to them? What have we done to take the gospel of Christ and to get it to those who need it? Jesus told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The man in Luke 5 disobeyed the commands of God. Brethren, are you and I? Are we obeying the commands of God? Jesus wants to get into the city. He wants to get into the country. He wants to get into the homes of the people in our neighborhood. He wants to get into the hearts of the people that we know and that we meet. But there are some Christians who are a little bit like Peter in Matthew 16. Where Jesus said, Peter, you're not mindful of the things of God. You're more mindful of the things of men. And just as this man in Luke chapter 5, although he might have been well-intentioned, he hindered the cause of Christ. Whatever our motivation might be, whatever our reasons might be for not sharing, for not spreading the news, for not shouting from the housetops, for whatever our reasons and our motivations might be for keeping this message to ourselves, brethren, let's get out of the way. Let's allow Christ to be seen in us. Let's allow Christ to be heard through us. And let us take the opportunity not to keep the message of salvation to ourselves, but to share it with everybody we meet. Don't keep your faith to yourself. Don't keep your love for the Lord to yourself. Are you a Christian this morning? If you're a Christian this morning, at one time you were covered with sin, but Jesus took His blood and He cleansed you of that sin. How can we possibly not share that with other people? If you're not saved today, may I beg of you to let Jesus save you right now. With faith in your heart, why don't you come down these aisles this morning? Confess the faith that's in your heart and be baptized. Not because some man teaches that, but because the Savior taught us to do that. If you're already a child of God, but you have not been walking in the light as He is in the light, if you haven't been living that faithful life He calls upon us to live, if Christ has not been living in you, if we can help you in any way to get your life right with the Lord this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.